Well, good morning, CTK. Good to have you here this morning. Happy Mom's Day, moms. Woo, let's give them a big round of applause. They're sitting out here. You know, yesterday, Marilyn and I took a quick trip up to Boone to see my mom. She's 82 now. And it took more time to drive up there than we had the time to be up there. But the key was to hang out and spend a little bit of time. So one thing we always have fun doing is messing around with the what mama says stuff, you know. See, in our household, those aren't jokes. They're real things. And, you know, my mom has a lot to say. She's an elementary school teacher, retired. And so she's got a lot to say. And one of the things that she always loved to say was, hey, you know, eat that food and like it. You know, there wasn't an option. We learned what was good because she would say, hey, you haven't tried it yet. Eat it. You'll like it. You know, and there's many, many, many more. Trust me. We were driving up there yesterday. We were clicking through the radio stations and came on to a country station. And it caught our attention because it was it had 24 hours of mom songs. Now, put mom and country together and you're going to get some interesting songs, okay? And especially in the South, all right? So, you know, these songs are going on. And there was one I just loved because the chorus line was this. Jesus and mama always loved me even when the devil took control. This I know, for the Bible told me so. I thought, whoa, as a third kid, that was my life. You know, I was just happy Jesus and mama kept loving me when I was getting by with what my older brother and sister say was getting by with murder. You know, if you're a young kid, you know what that means. And but here I get a chance to stand on the stage, you know. I survived. Jesus and mama still love me, and we get a chance. But I'm glad you are here. Good to have you here. My name is Craig Bollinger, lead pastor, and it's a joy to have you. We got a special thing also. We got some single moms out here. We got some single women out here. Friday night, Sarah just got in from Guatemala, and she is here. She's going to be sharing a special event for single moms, single women, Friday night, 7 o'clock. And we don't want to leave you out. It should be an incredible time together. If you hadn't signed up, just show up. 7 p.m. in the foyer coming up this Friday night. Should be a great time together. So if you're joining us new today, we're in a series called Missing Pieces. And what we're dealing with is this life that God has given us. We want it to come together in this beautiful puzzle that has all the pieces working together for good. And Jesus says, I want you to have life, and I want you to have it abundantly. But there's a problem. Satan does not want that. Look at this passage in John 10 that we've been looking at. It goes like this. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came the end of life and have it abundantly. Okay? You might circle that word only. The more you look at the text, and the wonderful thing about the scriptures is if we keep talking about it, we keep living up, new things come out. We see it. In this one I want to highlight, because I've talked about the progression of kill, steal, and destroy, but look at the word only. There's only one intent that Satan has for your life, and that's to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? But the intent that God has for your life is that you might have life and have it abundantly. Okay, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the reason that I follow Jesus is he makes my life more abundant, and he shows me the way, and he gives me the truth, and therefore he gives abundant life. So that's why I follow him. That's why I want to encourage you to do the same. But I don't want to follow in Satan's intents. But if Satan's intent is to destroy my life, to kill my life, he's going to take pieces of my life, and he's going to fragment it so it no longer comes together. So go back online. You can look at these other pieces that you might have missed. They're there for you and available for you. Today I want to talk about one missing piece that Satan loves to steal from your life, and that is belief in action. Not just belief, but belief in action. And this is what Satan wants to do. He wants to take this word belief and turn it into an empty shell in your life. He wants this word to belief not to have any substance to it. Like cracking an egg and nothing comes out. Or opening a box or a gift and there's nothing in it. He wants belief to be nothing but belief with no action, no fruit, no impact, in your life and mine. If he can do that, then he has stolen the power and authority of God in your life. He wants to separate you from God. He wants us in a pattern of believing in God, but not believing that God has any movement in your life and in mine. That's where he loves for us to be. You know, for example, if I believe that God had called Marilyn, my wife Marilyn, to be in my life, and to be my wife, and for us to be on a life journey together in ministry and fulfilling his promises in the midst of the world, then I can believe that all day long. But what do I need to do? I need to ask her on a date. Okay? I did that over 30 years ago, and she went out with me. And that was a good thing, okay? So then, if it was going to really be true, I had to believe what? That God wanted her with me for the rest of my life. So I needed to ask her to marry me. See, that belief began to be an action that worked itself through my life. I had to act on it. I had to live on it. Belief alone is shallow and empty. We live in it. Okay, another image. I can believe that airplanes can fly. As much steel as it is and as heavy as they are, is somehow they can get up in the sky, and through all the things we study and know about how things fly and the rapid speed of air and uplift and all those kind of scientific things, at the end of the day, I can believe it all day long. But unless I get in that plane and I fly above the clouds, I'll never get to see a sunset or a sunrise with the bottom drop being a cloud base. And if you've never seen it, it's unbelievable how long it takes the sun to set above the clouds and how beautiful it is to see it rise when there's nothing but a white plain across it. There's a difference between belief and action. What Satan wants to do in your life is to steal, kill, and destroy. What he wants to do is make your belief an empty shell of no substance in your relationship with God. Look at Luke chapter 11. Jesus says this. Jesus replied, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and" what? Read the rest of it. "Put it into practice." Okay? We see that consistently. I'm just giving you a couple examples in the New Testament with Jesus. But it found its way through the life of the church in the early church with the apostles and other teachers. Here's one in James chapter 2. It says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is" what? "Dead." Okay? Which means it's empty. It means nothing. Okay? So let's talk about those two words a minute, faith and belief. The reason I'm teaching today on belief and action and why that's so critically important and why Satan wants to steal it is often we think belief and faith are the same thing, and they are not. So I want to use them interchangeably so you kind of get the picture. Belief and action, we could say, is the same as faith. Okay? Because faith is a move of what it is you believe. Okay? Like Peter, when he's in the boat with the disciples, and Jesus comes and walks up to him. And Jesus says, "Come, get out of the boat and walk to me." He could believe that Jesus could walk on the water. He could believe that he could walk on the water. But until he got out of the boat, it doesn't become what? Belief in action. That is its faith move. That's where the excitement begins. That's where you begin to know, whoa, the supernatural just entered the natural, a human being like Peter and like you and me, and begins to act itself out in ways that are way beyond what we can think or imagine. Satan does not want your life or my life to be in that place. He wants to deem us powerless in how we live. Now, there has been many that live this belief in action. We see it in the apostles in the New Testament. Peter and James and Titus and Timothy. Whenever you read the scripture, you see that they're not just believing, they're actually living the action of it. And they're doing miraculous things. Supernatural, entering into the natural, and living it out in his word. We see it through the early church in ones like Augustine, or we see it in ones like Martin Luther and others who in the Reformation lived it out, belief in action. But we also see it today, right here in this room. We see places of life and belief in action actually changing the world. than the place that God's called us to be. Because that's what our mission says. We can make a difference in the midst of the world in belief and action. One of the ways we see it is in one of our churches that we host and work with in Burundi, Africa. Here's Eric. Take a look at the picture. Eric is on the right, and he is the pastor. 5-6 years ago, he was an unbeliever. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. We were down there. He was my translator. We were teaching in that place, and we've continued to mentor. I keep up with him weekly, and he talks about the mission of the church. This is a young man on the left that came to that church, became a believer 2 years ago. He is praying over this young man that has become a person of peace, and he's going to be going to a new community. We're going to visit, and we're there in November. And he's going to start a new church. He's starting to meet people and engage with people. Now, 2 years, and he's reaching out. They have no resource. He's just stepping out, believe in faith that God's going to take his action, and he's going to multiply the church through that action in a very real way. Okay, living it out. You begin to see a move in the kingdom, not because you believe something, because you step out in it yourself. Take a look at another one, Erica Chihon and Chimal. Erica is the pastor here in the white, and she is praying. And this is one of our mission sites, Castle Burn Bay Orphanage, where Sarah's at, and Chimal, where Erica leaves. She believes God wants to change the community. And it's a very difficult community. And she has a church there that she pastors, and a school that's being raised up. We help with that school, but so do many others. But there's a belief in action. She is here praying with the elders in that church, and every day they get up early in the morning, and guess what they do? They go to work. They live it out with everything they have, every resource, every ability. They live it out, belief in action, and what has happened because of that is fruit is being born in that community. Lives are changing, kids are going to school, etc., because of belief in action. There's another. We see it here in Slovakia, another one of our mission points. We'll be touching base with them in the summer. This is the Andrew family. A very difficult world in Slovakia. Not many know Christ, many far from Christ. And every day they get up believing that God wants to reach people that are far from him, lost people. So they get out there and they do things and they meet people and they connect with people. It's not just, man, I hope God will change people's lives. They're in it. Okay, and they're connecting with another pastor there that's helping them make it action. These are common people. They're just like you and me living belief in action. Satan has not stolen and made it a shallow box. Okay, there's even more right here in midst. Damarice, raise your hand, Damarice. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. She left Guatemala before she was married and came here to start Cristo El Rey Church. Okay, that's belief in action. God wants to do something new. I'm gonna leave this church in Guatemala. I'm gonna come here and begin to live it. And today the church that she started and pastored was transferred to Pastor Frank and Pastor Rosa. And take a look at this, Puerto Nuevo Church, Newport Church. Today is their very first day. Take a look at the next picture. They're standing inside this new building that's behind Cookout. Woo! And that's their elder group. And right here today, they're celebrating their first worship in that new building because that trailer is just way too small. Amen? Okay, that's belief in action. Is there some fear? But there's some people that came up to me last week and said, oh, no, Pastor, are we going to be able to do this? And I'm saying, absolutely, you're going to do it because you're doing what God wants you to do. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, God, the supernatural, is going to enter your natural body, and he's going to, through faith in action, belief in action, is going to accomplish great stuff for God. Amen? Look around the room. You're next. You are the next step of the greatness of God. Not living in shallow belief, but you are living in a belief in action. You do not want Satan to steal and make your belief something that's shallow and empty and meaningless in your life and into the world. Because the reality is this, Satan cannot deem God powerless. Hear me, church. Satan has no power over God. He only has the power to limit that in you by lack of belief. Satan cannot take God out of the picture. He can only take you out by your lack of belief in God. He can only steal, kill, and destroy by reducing belief to something that is empty. All right? What I want to do in our time together this morning, I want to have us walk through, is how do we push Satan at bay? And how do we stand firmly on this ground of belief and action like Jesus called us to as his followers in the early church? And how do we live it out to accomplish a mission that is going to change the world, starting in this community and in this church? To begin to get our arms around it, I want to give you a passage of Scripture, Matthew 21. You can open up your message notes in your app. Follow along with me because these are in there in that as well. Matthew 21. One story of many, I want to use as an image, starts in verse 18. It goes this way. In the morning, he, Jesus, was returning to the city. The city was Jerusalem. He became hungry. Jesus became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. And you're looking at it going, man, do I want to follow that Jesus? He's kind of mad at that tree, you know? So what's going on here? Sometimes we kind of act like that in our belief. God, you didn't give me this. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm going to forget believing in you because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. That is not what's going on here. Jesus is far, far above petty stuff. Okay? So why did this go on? He was heading to the city, which was Jerusalem. That city was considered the center of faith and belief and religion in the world. It'd be like he's coming to Christ the King Church. Okay? He's coming to a people of belief. Okay? Along the way, he sees this fig tree. This is the season by which figs should be on the tree. Anybody ever had a fruit tree that didn't have any fruit on it? That tree is not very good, is it? Okay? So here he finds this tree. But not only does the tree not have fruits when it should have fruit, the tree has lots of beautiful leaves. Now let's understand what's going on. He's teaching the disciples a lesson. He does not want them, and he does not want you, to be like that tree. What's the lesson? To be all fluffed up with belief, but have no fruit and no substance in our lives. He wants us to be fruitful. He's headed to a city and a religion of the day that was just like that tree. All leaf and no fruit. All belief of no substance. They didn't even believe in Jesus Christ coming. They didn't believe in the power of God. They're just going through the motions. God's not working in them. And therefore, he speaks a word, and the tree withers. Like our lives. They have no impact without the power of God working in and through the supernatural, because we believe in the power of God to move in and through our lives. Many times we just live life like leaves blown out, but nothing powerful. Now, what does that mean for us? Several things. Number one is this. If we want to grow in this belief and keep Satan at bay, the first thing we must do is watch what Jesus does. Okay? When I'm struggling, and we all struggle with belief, okay? I could write a whole book on what Marilyn says, okay? And one thing she often says is, Craig, did you hear yourself? You just preached it three times. Did you hear yourself? Okay? So I'll go ahead and say it so she doesn't have to say it when I get home for lunch. All right? It's Mother's Day. She didn't have to fix lunch. I don't think. Because I don't think I'm cooking it. I hope somebody is. So, we got you covered, babe. We got you. Right. McDonald's is open on Sunday. We got you. Whew. Chick-fil-A is not. There's some Chick-fil-A people in the front. Now, I even forgot where it's going now. See, she's still so beautiful, I just get distracted every time I look at her. We want to watch what Jesus does. When we are watching what Jesus does, we begin to get a sense of why he's doing what he's doing. And if we're getting a sense of why he's doing what he's doing, and then we begin to do what we see him doing, and we begin to pray for what we see him doing, he is going to come through. And he's going to come through in a powerful way. It's the core understanding of that belief in action. If we're going off doing what God is not doing and what God does not want us to do and what God knows will harm us in the end of the day, we can pray for all kinds of things, which is exactly what Satan wants us to do. And God's not going to come through. And then we're going to blame God for not coming through. And Satan's going to separate our belief because we're going to come at the end of the day going, God, you didn't provide for me here. I don't believe you can provide for me anywhere. And Satan has already begun to steal, kill, and destroy. So the first thing we want to do, and that any of us have to do, that I have to do, is I need to go back and see what it is that Jesus is doing. What is he doing in lives and relationships? What is he doing in marriages? What is he doing for the sick and the poor? What is he doing for the disenfranchised, for the marginalized? What is he doing? And if he's doing it, what does he want me to do? And how does he want me to live? So I begin to be aligned with where he's at, and I watch what he's doing. A good way also is to watch what you see other people who are following Jesus are doing. When we're doing that, that alignment begins to come in, and we begin to see the power of God. What they learned from Jesus' day and the disciples learned was what he was doing. He was coming to the earth to show them how to live in the power of God and not just to be like fig trees all leafed out with nowhere to go and no power to live it. They wanted to watch what he was doing. Folks, watch what Jesus wants to do in your life. Watch how he wants to empower your every move in his name, in his direction. He does not want to leave you like that tree. Secondly is this, listen to what Jesus promises. Hear me, church. I have to go back constantly and listen to what Jesus promises. If Jesus promises something, you can absolutely believe that it is true and that he has the power to live it out in and through your life and my life. It is not an empty shell of belief. Hold to it. I have to go back and review. You have to go back and review. We have to be reminded. Often, I have to speak into someone's life and say, remember, this is what Jesus longs for you to have. We got to remember. He wants to set you free. He wants you to discover your purpose. Let me tell you, this is what Jesus promises. Let's go on a little further in Matthew 21. Let's look at verse 20. When the disciples saw it, the fig tree withered, they marveled. Now, your response was, why did he kill the fig tree? No, their response was, they marveled. Why did they marvel? Because Jesus could speak a word, and what would happen? What he said happened. Listen to what I'm saying. What he says happens because he has the power for it to happen. That is what you want to believe and know. Satan wants you to have a shell in his old said, Jesus said it, but it's not going to happen. No, he said it. So he goes on and says, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, pay attention, truly, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. What is he saying? He's saying you need that kind of belief. You need the kind of belief that has the word of God and the promise of God that says when you have that kind of belief, when you live in what I want to do and in and through your life and you say it, it will be done. It's not about withering trees. It's about receiving the power and authority of God to do what you see God doing and what he wants to do in and through your life. 1 John 4:4, write it down on your notes. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's what it says. Hear me say it. Greater is he, God, who is in you than he, Satan, who is in the world. Now, where is the supernatural of God living? In me and in you. Now, this is a very important point, because that's the disconnect the disciples had with Jesus. They were seeing him do this action on the fig tree, but they were not seeing themselves be able to do that. They were not seeing themselves have this supernatural power that moves into the natural ability of a human being. Jesus was purely divine and purely human. But in 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So Satan wants to work, or God wants to work not just outside of you, but how? In and through you. Get that, church. God wants to work in and through you. That's what he wants to do. You are an overcomer. You are not to be overcome by Satan and the difficulties. You have the power of God in and through you to take action and to live it through that action. What does that mean? That means that if you have a struggling marriage, that you can be an overcomer. It means that God's power can come in and through you to believe. And if you believe, you're not only just hoping, oh, I'm hoping for a better marriage. You are trusting it. And when you are trusting it, it means that you're living it in action. Hear me. If you don't make the move, the power of God's move is not evident in and through you. How often I hear, God, I pray, would you just fix my marriage? God, I pray you just give me a better job. God, I pray if you will clear me from this addiction. God, I pray I'm struggling with this sin. Would you set me free? God, and it just goes on and on and on. And God's not responding. And we're sitting here just hoping for God to do something supernatural when God's saying, greater is he who is in where? Say it with me. You. Say it with me. Greater is he who is in you than Satan who is in the world. What he's saying to you is take action. Believe I will work in your life. Take action in your marriage. Take action in that addiction. Take action in that job. Take action where you're going to go, because I will work and move through you. See, we get afraid. I can't do it. I'm not sure I can do it. And we don't trust, because we know we can't do it, but we don't make the move. That's what he's speaking about. He will do the miraculous as we move with him. The supernatural moves through the natural, and we take these first steps. We don't need to be a people sitting back going, man, I hope God does something. I'm going to wait till he shows up. You know, I have other pastors that come up and their church is struggling, or the church is dying, and think they're not reaching the community. They're wanting new people to come, or whatever the case. And they say, we're sitting here praying for God to bring new people. It says in the Bible that God will add to your number daily those who are being saved. And I say, well, what are you doing with the rest of Acts? What are you doing with the awe that comes in, the awe factor of living it out for God? What are you doing in the devotion and the prayer and the forgiveness and the healthiness of the church? What are you doing with all of that? What are you doing to get out of your box and go into the world and risk yourself for the glory of God? What are you doing instead of hoping for God, but trusting God? You're in the trusting. Well, nothing. Sounds like Satan stole that belief. It's a hard place. How do you know if Satan's still in your belief? You typically know when you're hoping for something rather than trusting for it. Trusting means I'm taking steps with you, God. I'm right there with you. I'm walking it out, and I'm trusting every step of the way. You got the finance, you got the ability, you're going to put it together, because I'm trusting you. We know that we're under attack with Satan and that belief. When we're longing to change the world, to make a difference in the world, but we're scared to death and we're just frozen in our own fear, that's when we know Satan's got us. We don't want to live that way. We're going to remember his promises. We're going to live in his promises. Number four, three is this. Admit your unbelief and desire to grow. Folks, we're in church. It's okay to admit we don't have it all together. Okay, just relax. We're not about the law. We're about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives us the power. Sometimes we just have to admit, sometimes I just got to admit, you know, I struggle. God, but I want my belief not to be an empty shell. I want to step and trust forward in faith with everything that I have, that you're going to move mountains, you're going to change the world, and you're going to put me in it, and you're going to use me, and you're going to take care of everything, because I already know that's what you want done. I often share with our staff, we get saying, you know, it doesn't matter so much what we do for God when it aligns with what God wants to do. It only matters that we do it. And if we do it, then he will take care of everything. He will align everything up because he will accomplish what it is he wants to do. You need not worry. Look at Mark chapter 9. There's a neat passage here, and it's in Mark chapter 9. It's also in Matthew chapter 17. Same story, but it gives us different images. In this story, there's a man who has a son that has what is called in those terms been demon-possessed since childhood. We don't know what disease or what struggle he might have had, but any of those were just considered demon-possessed. Okay? The man comes to the disciples, and he's asking for help with his child, but they cannot help him. So everybody gathered around is kind of laughing at the disciples. It's kind of like us when we want to step out for God and we're afraid that people will laugh at us because we're more concerned about our reputation than God's. You don't need to worry about God's reputation. He's got that one, okay? You just get out there and trust God with what God wants to do. God wants healing. God wants freedom. God wants marginalized brought to him. God wants the poor fed. If you're in that world, he will take care of everything you got. You cannot outgive God if you're doing what God wants you to do. This man comes to him, disciples can't heal him, so they come to Jesus, and this is the encounter. Verse 21. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can..." Look at the exclamation point. "All things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Wasn't that beautifully honest? I want to believe. I want to believe with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I want to believe. I don't want just something shallow. I want to believe. He's honest with God. Just be honest with Jesus. But who was he asking to help him? Jesus. Because I can't help me. But Jesus can. But he was in good company. The disciples found themselves in the same place. In Matthew 17, we see their version. It reads like this. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. They were afraid to do it in public. "Why could we not cast it out?" This is what Jesus said. He said to them, "Because your faith was little, or you had little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Don't we see something similar there? Why did they say that? They were willing to admit that what they wanted was what they saw Jesus do to this fig tree. What they wanted was the command of God and the power of God to be visible in them as it was in him. They longed for it. And they sat down with him, "We want it." But here Jesus says, "It's because you have a little faith." Now, a little faith is not a branding. The disciples were not known all their lives for little faith. It was an exhortation to rise up and carry belief in action from the power of God in your life. We see the disciples in the New Testament not being ones of little faith. We saw them as ones of great faith and great belief in action because of this lesson. And that's the lesson I'm giving you today. The fruit of your life is not left to someone saying to you, "You just have a little faith." The fruit of your life is moving forward, trusting in this belief and action in your lives, and releasing it fully to the power of God. watch how the supernatural will release you. And that means you got to pour, you got to trust God's supernatural grace in your life. You got to trust His authority and His power. You got to trust His provision, because you will step out in ways by which you place yourself, like we sang in the song, "Have Your Way with Me." Now you're believing action. Now you're like people, everyday life people that we shared on the screen at the beginning, living it out. When you're in that place, it'll take you to the next place, and that is number four. That is, you begin to abide more deeply. When I'm struggling with belief and action, I just need to abide more deeply with Jesus. I need to watch where He's walking. I need to see what He's promising. And I need to admit where I'm struggling. And I want to abide with Him. Look at this passage in John 15. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches," Jesus says. "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Not fig trees with big leaves and no fruit, but that you bear much fruit. You see, as we abide, then we're in alignment. And what we're praying for and what we're seeking and what we're not just hoping, but what we're trusting, is to step forward with God in faith in some incredible ways and watch Him move in your life and in your ministry. If we want to reach the world with God's heart and connect all people to the life-giving message of Jesus, that's going to be some trusting moves that we need to make. A couple Thursdays ago, one of our elders in this church, Doreen Katroops. Some of you may know Doreen in this church. She and her husband and her family have been a part of this church almost from the beginning. They have watched CTK in its incredible growth years. They've watched seasons where we kind of cycled a little bit, and then they've seen new growth years. And we're in conversation in our leadership board that because this area around us is in the most rapid growth time any time in the last 25 years. There's over 38,000 students that live within 10 minutes of us under age 18. The schools are wildly diverse, but they're extremely diverse in what each person gets. Some are failing. Some are cycling, some are winning. We as a church and our leadership know that we can't be a church oblivious to that. That God's called us to more. And we need to act on that more in faith. And it's going to cost us something. Belief in action. She came to the meeting. She says to the elders in the room, "I'm afraid. I don't know how we can do this. I don't know how we can upfit in a time of security in our children's areas. I don't know how we can change the culture of kids in classrooms. How are we going to meet this need? I'm thinking, oh my goodness.